T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Wegmans is the official tailgate headquarters of the Buffalo Bills, available now exclusively at Wegmans. Bring the Storm ice cream for a limited time only. Enter the Bring the Storm sweepstakes to win a Wegmans and Buffalo Bills and Rivalries prize pack. See details in the ice cream aisle at participating Wegmans. No purchase necessary. It is time for our tailgate tag-along, even on the road. Our tailgate tag-along is presented by Wegmans. So, wanted to see what you might have cooking up on the home grills for this away game. I know a lot of people are going to this game. So we'd like to know what is on your tailgating menu. And Andrew says, as much as I would love to go to the game and enjoy the beautiful weather down there, I would not be able to because of work the next day. But I will be making ribs with a mustard-based sauce. I'm listening. They're known for using mustard-based sauce down there, so I figured I'd keep with the theme. That is correct. Carolina Barbecue has a spicy brown mustard tang to it. I went to a barbecue joint one time, Steve, before the Bills at Eagles in 2023, I want to say. And we just found this hole-in-the-wall place. They had three different kinds of barbecue sauce. Carolina. One of them was Carolina, and it was dynamite.
Yep.
Absolute dynamite. The other two sauces were good, but that one took the cake. It was my first experience with Carolina barbecue. It is a nice twist on barbecue sauce.
I know. I've recently had some.
No, you did.
I've recently had some wings.
I've never had it on ribs.
I've had it on wings with a mustard
rub.
Not rub. It was a sauce that was drizzled over the top of a, like a honey butter barbecue with mustard.
Okay.
Yeah,
good for you, Andrew. That sounds delicious.
Very good.
Jack says, on the road to the Carolinas as you read this, meeting up with friends in honor of the Oktoberfest season, in a lot making a little sausage roulette. Stout braised, then grilled beer brats with jalapeno and brown sugar sauerkraut. Wow!
Keep going.
Wow. Also, smoked kielbasa with hot mustard and grilled sweet onion peppers. I don't know which one to pick. I'd have to eat both of them.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
I'm kind of looking forward to the next home game so we can go back out and do another.
We went to one of Jack's tailgates earlier this season. I want to go to this one.
It was good. It was good.
Man, that sounds good. Jalapeno and brown sugar sauerkraut.
Buffalo is a foodie town, no question about it, and it's been called such in national publications. But you get people at that's the tailgate we went to,
yeah,
and that's like a totally 180 degree turnaround from where
your burger with Havarti cheese and special burger.
The menu is unbelievable.
Yeah. That's impressive.
We could make money off the tailgate menus in this place, man. We could start a business.
Y. Higgins says, Arizona doesn't get too many Bills games. I will listen to the radio broadcast with Chris Brown. Thank you. Planned on making pretzels with cheese dipping sauce, but need to eat low-carb Sunday. Not by choice. Wings? Ribs? Menu TBD. Go Bills. Yeah, wings are good. You got protein.
Yeah,
you know,
wings and
low
ribs
carb. As long as you don't bread the wings, and who does that?
Always appropriate. Yeah, you don't want to bread the wings.
Don't do that. Yeah, just go high on the protein side.
Sure.
You know,
ribs are always good too. Those are fantastic.
They're a lot of work
because they are but you know, with a weekend with a game on Sunday.
Sunday
if,
1 o'clock.
It's a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of start it on Saturday afternoon. You start slow cooking them, and there you go.
Let's. So that is the tailgate tag along. For this week, we will be back home next week. So we will remind you, if you have some interesting tailgating menu options, you should tweet at us at OneBillsLive. And if we like what we see, you may see Steve and myself stop by to sample some of your menu offerings next week at the Week 9 tailgate for Bills Chiefs. So if you already have plans, fire it off to us at One Bills Live.
That's a 425 game.
It is.
Yeah. So that'll be – we'll have some extra time to do that. So we'll be out looking around. We'll be out snooping around. We'll hook up – text us or
tweet at us.
Tweet at us at One Bills Live, and we'll hook up and we'll know, you'll know to expect
us. You'll tell us where you
you'll
are.
You'll know to expect us.
And we'll be pulling up in a – high-speed golf cart.
An high-speed golf cart. By the way, golf carts are the only way. It's been
you have been turned on to the
game-changer, baby. I've been
the only way to tailgate.
Oh my gosh, a little cart and just that is awesome.
I had work responsibilities for the home opener, and my wife ended up scooting around with him and her girlfriend.
Right
for the rest, because Steve doesn't have pregame responsibilities, so they're just ripping around the place, sampling everybody's stuff,
don't
having a good time.
I have multiple pregame responsibilities. I'm very busy and I'm very important. So
yeah,
stay
smoking
out of,
cigars
so
and
stay
eating
out
food.
Of the way, stay out of the way of my cart. We've got things and things to do, big responsibilities, and it's very important that I have free reign with my golf cart. So, yeah,
it's a level up for sure.
It is. This has been one of my most enjoyable football seasons.
Well, there you go.
Since I quit playing.
Yeah. All right.
And the home
and it has everything to do with the golf cart.
It has everything to do with tailgate tag along.
Let's get back to the phones, though, on this OBL Friday fan mailbag. And waiting patiently has been James in Rochester. What do you got for us, James?
Hi, guys. First of all, congratulations, Steve, on the nomination. Pulling for you. Got
Thank
to see
you.
A lot of those games back in the 90s. So good luck on that process. Secondly, couldn't agree more with Mr. Cosell there about opening up the game more. I mean, even when they're scoring 30 points a game, we're kind of like in kind of the energy level. They're 4-0 and scoring 30 points, but all we can like there's something not there. There's still something not there. But my question to you, Steve, is energy, but it's kind of more like the rhythm of your routine every week. When you were playing, you knew you were going to play at 1 or 4 every Sunday or occasional Monday. You had pretty much had the same routine every week. Now these teams, not just the Bills, they're flying all over the world. They got a game on Thursday, then they don't have a game until the next Monday night. Then they got a short week and they're playing quick. How much does that affect, you know, the penalties, like lining up offside on the first down, taking away a turnover, all that kind of sloppy play. Does that have to do with the weekly rhythm of the routine that you're in?
I think only in the sense that the preparation is disjointed. If you don't feel like you're in a rhythm, or you don't get the same reps or the same kind of feel for your practice routine, then it might bleed over into the game. But players are used to that. You get a routine and you stick with it and you plan, and you can't let the routine become the object of it. Certainly you got to trust the process and you get all that. You got a lot of stuff to be done, but having a wrench thrown into it or having it change from time to time is not an excuse. You got to plan around it and throw yourself into that routine on that schedule. You're right. The travel, home, away, odd day, odd time can make a difference and make you show up a little bit weird. Maybe you didn't get the right sleep, or you're not peaking at the right time energy-wise. But for the most part, players have anticipated that. You're kind of ready for that.
Yeah.
So I would say while it might have an effect on your discipline and your self-control and jumping off sides and penalties, I don't think it's a good enough excuse for that. I think it's more about your emotional concentration of being ready to play on that play.
And I think the Bills don't have much of a leg to stand on there either, because they have the second fewest air miles in the league with their schedule this season.
Right, but they do play at odd time, night games all the time, bunch of 425 games. There's that going on. And that, I think, you start your real hard routine, your etched in stone routine, kind of the late night before you get up and play. All day, game day, even if it's a night game, you've got that kind of set in stone, like a good go-to-sleep nap for an 8-10 kickoff. You're sleeping from like 1 to 3 or whatever. And so you've got that set in stone. So if that gets disrupted, maybe you'll have a little problem showing up ready to play. But that's when it really gets to be a problem. It's not so much, the Monday that you're getting off this last week. Their Monday you had a padded practice and that kind of thing. That was just kind of weird. So, the schedule can get into your way once in a while, but that's your responsibility.
Yeah.
And you got to be
ready for it.
You're a pro. You got to be ready for it.
To Jerry in Tonawanda next. How's it going, Jerry?
Hey, guys. Great job. Let me preface this with saying that outside of the coaching staff of the Buffalo Bills, I was probably the only one in Buffalo that wanted Josh Allen when we picked him. So, because I watched him in college, and I'm from Wyoming, but live here now. Anyway, in college, they had a poor offensive line. And if you go back and look, they had a lot of plays where they just moved the pocket out to the right, and he could see the field, and he was just tearing up defenses when they moved him out to the right. And I'd like to see the Bills move them out of the pocket. So, have some calls where they bootleg them out or move the pocket out to the right and let them give him 2 seconds to see the field and see his receivers. And secondly, I have a whiteboard, Steve, here at home, and I got you. Let me just tell you, I got you going to the Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, yeah. I like that whiteboard call. Oh, love it.
On my whiteboard.
Put a date on it.
Oh, my gosh. There you go. Well, hey, I guess I should start packing my bags then, right?
One more thing. Also on my whiteboard, if we lose to Carolina, which I hope we don't, I don't have us making the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
But
all right.
That's just the way it is.
Timestamp those predictions, and I hope you go 1-2.
Erase the Hall of Fame. Erase the Hall of Fame thing. And keep. One or the other. If it's one or the other, give me the win at Carolina. A three-game losing streak would be a shocker for this crew.
It would also be the first three-game losing streak in Josh Allen's playing career.
Yeah.
He's never had one. The last time the Bills lost three in a row was Josh Allen's rookie year when he was injured with that elbow injury from Houston in week 5 and then missed the next three games with an elbow injury, and they lost all three of them.
Yeah, and we've talked about it a lot. They came back after the two-game losing streak last year and played at the Jets and won 23-20, so that was no gimme. 2 years or 3 years ago, they lost weeks. Remember, they were going 6-6. It's when they made the change at offensive coordinator. He came back after a two-game losing streak, losing a close one to Cincinnati, losing a close one to Denver. Remember on the last field goal?
12 men on the field.
The 12 men on the field. Then they came back and they scored 32 against the Jets and lumped those guys up. 2022, you go back even further. The two-game winning streak, a losing streak, came at November 6th, week 9 and week 10. The Jets and then the Vikings. Remember the overtime loss here to the Vikings?
Ugh.
They came out and lumped up the Browns the next week, lumped up the Detroit Lions after that, lumped up the Patriots, lumped up the Jets, and beat the Dolphins and beat the Bears. I mean, they came out and went 6 in a row after that two-game losing streak. So it's I think you have every right to think maybe they're going to bounce back, but it's not us that has to say it. It's them that has to do it, and that's what's, what we have to watch for.
Break time for us here. When we come back, some final thoughts on the tweet sheet. Questions in the OBL Friday fan mailbag. We'll answer those when we get back here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
It's the resolve of this group. It's the belief of this group. You just keep playing football. We got to give them their props. But just a beautiful day right there, okay? Trust the process. Keep battling, guys. This is belief at its finest right here. Just keep it. It's about the work. It's about you guys going back to work. We got a lot of work in front of us.
Hey, man.
Dave Canales on the Panthers' third straight win. Carolina Panthers are playing a little better this year. They've got 4 wins on the season. And that's who the Bills will play on Sunday. Joining us is Kyle Bailey, who talks Panthers down there in Charlotte. Kyle, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for taking time today to tell us about Carolina and how the season's been going for them.
Of course. Happy to do it, guys. Hope you're doing well.
So, more wins this year, obviously, right? Like, things are looking good in that department. How real have the Panthers felt? They've got a good win over the Cowboys. I feel like that's a good win. They blew out the Falcons, who beat the Bills. So, Jekyll and Hyde, what is Carolina so far through this many games in the season?
I think they're a young, talented team that is in the early phases of winning and learning how to win and seeing that their, you know, process, as you heard Dave Canales mention there a second ago, is actually a valid one that is starting to turn things around for this organization, one that's kind of been out in the desert without much water for the last couple of years. But they have, under Dan Morgan, added some, I think, real talent. That's evident with the way these rookies and second-year guys are producing and contributing. They've added real talent around their quarterback, who is still on his own journey. But maybe most importantly, the defense went from historically bad last year to one of the best run defenses in the NFL so far, and a secondary that's really been covering well. So They're a young team with a young head coach that's starting to believe in themselves. And after 3 straight wins, you know, folks around here are pretty excited about that.
Kyle Bailey, WFNZ in Charlotte with us. So run and stop the run kind of feels like, because if they can do that, we talked about this a little bit, I think, before the season, Kyle. Like, they should be what? Like a playoff bubble team? And if they look like this, do you think they probably stay in that race?
Yeah, no, I think they can. We were just actually going over their final 10 games yesterday trying to figure out what we thought was possible. And there's a lot out there for them. And I know going into this season for me, as someone who, like you guys, a radio guy who's talked about this team daily for basically a decade at this point, wanted to see improvement. 5 wins last year, a bunch of close calls down the stretch. I mean, they had teams like Kansas City and Philadelphia beaten, you know, the 2 Super Bowl teams last year. And so you wanted to see that carry over. And then they stumbled to start the year, but here they are at 4-3, and I think myself and most people thought, you know, being 8-9, 9-8 team, I think they're really targeting 2026 as the year they want to take off. So, you know, this would be a massive win over Buffalo, but so long as the, you know, the steady play, the consistent play continues, and you don't have more of those wild swings like the blowout in New England a couple of weeks ago, I think this team is poised for, you know, an 8-9 win season.
Is it surprising to you that they have had an improvement really without Bryce Young feeling like the reason for it? I mean, we've talked how this week that, like, really, we might even rather play Bryce Young this week, and it's Dalton who, like, is there really much of a drop-off to be expected?
See, I don't know about drop-off. I think Bryce has played, I think people were expecting a little bit more, but I think Bryce has played well, you know, in a lot of situations. And I think, actually, you know, it's not even a really tight game down the stretch if he stays in. He's made some really clutch throws against Miami and Dallas in particular. So I say all that to say he's still not a finished product. And you're right, he hasn't carried them, you know, in a way that Josh Allen carries the Bills. But I don't think outside of a couple of turnovers in two games, he's ever been the reason that they've lost the game so far this year. I will say to your point, though, I actually believe Carolina can win this game because I think Andy Dalton, with the run game, with the run defense, and Andy's ability to stand in there and take deep shots on play action, I absolutely think they can win this game. But, you know, long term, they're anxious to get Bryce Young back out there.
Running the ball, Chuba Hubbard or Rico Dowdle, right? Like, Dowdle had those big explosive games. What do you think the split looks like going forward, and will the Bills see both of them?
I think, and I know the listeners, the fans absolutely believe that Rico Dowdle should be this team's lead running back right now. You'll have to forgive me. My dog is trying to run away as we're outside. Bo!
It happens. Yeah, take care of that. We can relate.
So, anyway, you know, I think, it's a team that's got some potential that, the run game is really exposing to a lot of people. But Rico Dowdle's been the biggest reason why. Now, Shuba's a good back, right? He was a 1,000-yard back last year. He's a leader on this team. So he's not getting benched, but it's undeniable how well Rico is running the ball, how hard he hits the hole. He's a little better in the passing game. We've seen that already. So I would expect the split to probably be closer to 70-30, assuming this game is close on Sunday.
The other piece on offense to watch, Tet McMillan's had a nice start to his rookie year as a top 10 pick. Just how good do you feel like he's been so far?
He's flashed a lot of talent. I mean, you can see the reason he was a top 10 pick, which took a lot of people by surprise here. He's got the measurables, but, you know, we thought they were going to go defense with that first round pick, but they took him because they believed in who he is physically and beyond that, of course. But that stuff's already showing itself, just the innate talent, some tough catches. Now, he has been up and down. He's had a handful of drops, one that led directly to an interception, Bryce's only interception against Dallas in that win. So he's been a little bit uneven in that way. But, I mean, the big plays, the one-handed catches, the, you know, tight down the sideline plays, he's already shown that he was worth a top 10 pick just in terms of his potential.
Kyle Bailey joining us of WFNZ in Charlotte. Kyle, thanks for the time. And are you picking Carolina to win?
Well,
do you want to see how many Bills? Do you want to see how many Bills fans are in the crowd first before you
win? There'll be a lot of those.
Well, you know, we joke this week that you guys aren't just visiting; you're embedded in the community here in Mecklenburg County because there are so many Western New Yorkers down here. I will say real quick, I saw Joe a couple of weeks ago. I was in Buffalo 3 weeks ago for Sunday Night Football, and shout out to you, to those fans. That was one of the best NFL experiences that I've ever been to. I've been to a lot of stadiums, a lot of big time college football atmospheres down here. Mm-hmm. That was one of the coolest experiences that I've ever had. Fans were first class. Hospitality was awesome, and it was a night to remember. So shout out to Buffalo because that was incredible.
Yeah, very cool. Well, enjoy Buffalo traveling down there and taking over that stadium, Kyle.
All right, guys. Have
thanks, Kyle. Thank you. Kyle Bailey of WFNZ. So on Rico Dowdle, how about this for you? If we were in Carolina, I mean, it would be nonstop screaming that it should definitely be Rico Dowdle over Chuba Hubbard.
I would probably
ready.
Be doing
ready
that,
for this?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of different ways. Number one in the NFL,
yep,
in rushing yards over expected, Javonte Williams. Number two, Jonathan Taylor. Number three, Quinshon Judkins. Number four, Rico Dowdle.
And that's the total, or is that per attempt?
That's total.
And he hasn't even started half the games.
You want to go per attempt?
Yeah. Per attempt.
Per attempt. Let's do it a different way. James Cook, a yard over expectation per attempt. That's good.
That's very good.
Looking up, one spot up, Bijan. One spot up, Quinshon Judkins. One spot up, J.K. Dobbins. Mm-hmm. One spot up, Bill Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
Well, yep.
One spot up, Rico Dowdle. Only Javonte Williams and David Montgomery are above Rico Dowdle in rushing yards over expectation per carry.
Wow.
Rushing over expected percentage. What percentage of your runs do you get?
Yep.
Number one, Jaylen Warren. Number two, Blake Corum. Number three, Rico Dowdle. Number four, James Cook. They should be handing the ball to Dowdle 70-30, 80-20. Like, they should probably feature him like the Bills feature James Cook.
I mean, Dowdle did have 1,000 yards last year.
With the Cowboys?
He had 1,000 yards rushing for the Cowboys last season.
Look
at that list, by the way. All, like, all, like, second-team guys. Like, no one really at the top of that list.
Yeah.
Because Bill Kroski-Merritt is a seventh-round pick. David Montgomery is on his second team. Javonte Williams is on his second team and looked shot for the last 2 years. Dowdle's on his second team and has just kind of been a guy.
The thing I want to ask
is, Cook,
how different is Carolina from Atlanta?
They run the ball well with a really good running back in Dowdle.
Okay.
Is
Tet, the defense is better.
The defense is better. Is Tet McMillan just going to do the like run the Drake London routes and just catch in front of the Bills defense all day?
Like, I don't know if he's quite there yet, but the talent level is on par with Drake London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be interesting. Interesting game. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. If you missed anything today, we talked to Sal, we talked to Lindy Ruff, talked to Joe Marino, talked to Kyle Bailey. Now we're wide open for you if you want to give us a call at 803-0550.
I've got 11 Brad Marchand nicknames.
Oh, that's exciting.
That I could give you. Also, I saw a fun fact this morning that so Blue Jays and Dodgers starts on Friday to determine who wins the World Series. Two players have already won the World Series. And will receive World Series rings.
Because they played for both teams this year?
Both teams.
Wow.
So two players have already guaranteed themselves they are going to get a ring. They just don't know from who yet. Buddy Kennedy, who went from the Blue Jays to the Dodgers back to the Blue Jays. He's played actually mostly with the Bisons this year. And then Jose Urena, who has played for both, but is now on the Angels.
Congratulations
They're
to
both
them.
Getting rings.
It'd be funny if they showed up at the game wearing like a split jersey, like the moms of college, you know, the moms when the two brothers are playing against each other and the dads are wearing a split jersey.
Well, I don't think Kennedy's on like the, he's not on the World Series roster, but he's on the, he's in the Blue Jays organization right now. So, like, he would be on the team in the celebration, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But if the Dodgers win, couldn't he just run over to the other side because he's going to get a ring anyway? That'd probably be poor sportsmanship. Like, he rips off his Blue Jays jersey to unveil a Dodgers jersey, and he goes and joins the celebration.
803-0550 to join us. All right, so you've got the 14 Brad Marchand nicknames.
11, but yeah.
Okay, 11. Yeah. One for every suspension he had in his NHL career, right? Were there 11 suspensions?
I feel like he's been suspended.
Is it more than 11?
That's a great question. Yeah. How many times has Brad Marchand been suspended?
My guess is 8.
8?
I'm going to guess 8.
How many times do you think he's been fined?
Oh, boy.
70?
50.
Yeah.
All right. Wide open for you, 803-0550 on WG.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at marisas.com.
VR.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the Yates. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922.
Oh, I am game day ready.
Are you?
Oh, I'm ready to go. What do you want? What do you want here?
I think you know.
You want bold, insane predictions? You want unfounded, barely conscious bravado? Do you want unreasonable criticism of the Carolina head coach?
That's exactly what I want.
The guy's a joke. You know what's happening here? This guy, Dave Canales is his name, in case you don't know. He's the head coach and lead punk of this Syracuse team. No, he's the head coach of this Carolina.
Who would know his name?
Little slap shot for you. I don't know. You know, that's why all week I've had a real problem. You've asked me like three different times, I think, at the top of shows, like, what do you got? I'm like, I'm passing. I'm here to say today that I found something to dig in on, and after initially thinking, like I thought about it yesterday, I thought maybe it's just too frivolous.
Wow.
But
I have no idea what this is going to be.
I have decided, this guy, a little Gruden too, I mean, I'm all over the road already here. I brewed a pot of coffee. And I haven't really had any yet, but anyway.
Just you were close enough to it?
I smelled it, I don't know, I poured it, it's going to get worse, I touched the coffee. This guy, Canales, he cannot coach his team up enough to beat the Bills, compete with the Bills, be on the same field with the Bills without pulling some underhanded, dirty pool nonsense. You know what he did this week? Did you hear about this? He signed former Bills practice squad quarterback Mike White.
Okay. I wasn't going to figure that
you
out.
You got to stoop to asking Mike White how their offense works because you can't watch the tape yourself and figure it out, then you don't belong on the same field. Just get out of here, Canales. I got to talk to Mike White. I don't know what to do. Somebody get Mike White on the phone. It's an embarrassment.
Mike White. The bingo card metaphor or whatever that is just gets completely misused constantly. But if I literally did have a bingo card with what that was going to be in the end, I would not have had Mike White on it.
You would not have won. You wouldn't have won.
No. Oh, you didn't have that on your bingo card. Explain to me why I would have had a bingo card and what is this? What are you actually telling me? No, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's happening. So, you know.
I
guess we're in real trouble. They're going to know all the Bills' plays.
Well, I think we need to care more about whether the Bills know the Bills' plays. Yes.
Good
point. Right now, right?
Good point.
I have been asking you, somehow finding time in and around questions about Dave Canales. Before these games, if there is a winning score that would bother you, like, can the Bills just win this next game by any score and that's fine? And you've said yes every time. I mean, that there isn't a winning outcome that would bother you.
Right.
I am at a point with this game where there is.
Yeah, I said that already this week. Like, I want to give – the first time you asked me this week, I did the – I want to sit quietly and ponder like Josh Allen did when he was talking to Marty Smith before the Monday Night Football game 2 weeks ago and give you the answer. And I sort of quoted – Allen, like, I want to tell you one thing. I know how I want to feel, but if I'm being honest, here's the real nuts of it. And that's how I feel about this game. I 2-0, fine. Just give me a win. Keep moving. Just figure your stuff out. You're still not fully formed. I don't know what the hell to do with you, but you won. Good. I don't know. That doesn't feel good enough right now. I think personally and obviously professionally, I need a Bills win that just sort of calms everybody down. I mean, I joke around about we're not going to make it to January. It's really that I'm not going to make it to January.
You know what? This is week 8, and how many of those have there been this year? 1. The Jet game is the only game.
Right.
That's the last time they covered Baltimore was like just such a fluke. The Jet game is the only game like this year out of seven.
Where they just sort of
or
got,
six
just
out of six.
Sort of got in the car and went for a nice drive. That was the Jet.
They were like, never in trouble.
We got this. Yep.
And, you know, most NFL games are not like that. It's not like they should be. But my standard for them has become when they're playing bad teams, they rip them. Like, they take the fun out of it from a, well, not for Bills fans, but for anybody else. Like, they just sort of, like, this is much the better team. And they haven't had that this year. And you can make excuses for that. I mean, what did Kansas City do last year? Kansas City went to Carolina last year and barely won. Like, field goal at the end, maybe, to win that game. Like, that was
yeah, it looked tight. Like it looked like it might go to overtime. But then, yeah, I think KC pulled it out before OT.
Yeah, so if, say, that happens Sunday, you can be right there with, well, I mean, was Kansas City good enough last year? Because they had this against Carolina. They had that a bunch of times. And I know, but I think it's – I've been talking to a couple of people today from outside of the area just about how this is going. One guy I know from L.A. And, you know, they want to know sort of what does it sound like here? And I feel like it's natural – because not only are we so close to it, but we are actually obligated to talk about it every day for a long time. I think it's sort of natural that you would talk yourself into not panic, but stress. Like, I think that's happened to me this week.
And absolutely. I think it happens, whether fans are conscious of it or not. I mean, I don't even know that you or I are as it's happening, but I think you can sort of maybe take a breath here after a whole week's worth of shows. That definitely happens. The longer you stare at anything, right? Stare at it, talk about it, think about it, think about what to say about it, be asked the same question 50 different ways about it and try to come up with maybe at least 49 different responses because, you know, it's a radio show. You don't want to just sound like you're a broken record. And yeah, I mean, that lends itself to making everything into a bigger problem than it is. I think that's just natural. That happens, I think, in all kind of, you know, outside of sports, you can do it with your relationships, whatever.
Overthinking,
yes. I think that definitely can happen because I think, you know, I don't know this LA person was not one of the people at the pool with Ross yesterday in his underwear, by the way.
He would never have admitted it
so,
if he were.
But I think from the further away you get from it, the easier it is to sort of look at them the way that maybe we were looking at Kansas City last year. Man, they're really fortunate, but they keep winning, and I'm still going to have to deal with them. And I think that's probably the objective view on the Bills. They're still one of the Super Bowl favorites. They still have this quarterback, and it's been, you know, the ship has been listing different ways. Offense can't score enough points. Defense is getting chewed up, etc. But the overall, I mean, those are all problems I think we could see coming potentially. They're still that team, and so they're not a perfect team, but I think they're still one of the best teams in the league. Like at the end of 2 weeks of talking about all this, I think that's still who they are and what they are.
Was it Sal who made the point this week about, like, who are we inclined to compare them with? Like, who are the teams? They're not to be compared with great teams from other years, even themselves, necessarily.
That's right. Sal has made the point that you're playing this year's AFC. You're not playing, you know, the last 5 years' worth of the AFC. You're playing this year's.
And I guess I would say whether they're a top five team necessarily or not, there isn't a team that I would assume they would lose to, right? Or just think that would be a really – that would be a big problem. The Colts are not this. I mean, the Colts might be favored in a game at home against Buffalo, but there's no team – even Kansas City, there have been so many battles with them that no matter how they looked last week or recently, I'm not going to think that the Bills just cannot hold up to Kansas City. Maybe they won't win, but – so there really isn't that. It's just – I think from 2 weeks since Atlanta, And not having another game last week, not really having any sort of good news or any evidence that there couldn't be any, that things are going to be better. What you have in that department is the two guys coming off suspension. But they've also lost a starting safety for a month today. And Daquan Jones, who didn't play against the Falcons, is out. And I don't know if they're coming out ahead from these changes. I mean, Jordan Poyer, if it's going to be Jordan Poyer, starting at safety for the Bills in 2025 is kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. It's not anywhere I ever wanted to be. I was away, I think, when they brought him back to the practice squad. But I know how I felt when I saw it. Like, I think I even tweeted something. But, I respect their, wanting guys that know the system and leadership and, tutoring. They've got a very young safety in Bishop that they have a decent amount invested in as a second-round pick. You want to have a mentor, fine. If he has to get on the field, buckle up. And I still feel that way. I don't think his last year with the Bills, which is two seasons ago now, was very good. And, you're another couple of years older. I'm very leery of that. If he's got, I would easy for me to say, be careful what you wish for. I would just as soon put Jordan Hancock back there and hope that the mistakes can be minimized and that maybe the athleticism edge I get there over both Poyer and Rapp, I would say, because Rapp has been compromised. Seems pretty clear now that he's been compromised. He's on IR with a knee injury that he suffered in training camp.
That's the story.
So, I would play the kid right now. And maybe that'll be maybe a bit of a mix. Maybe they'll use sort of like they were doing with Trey White and Dorian Strong before Strong suffered the neck injury. Like spell, and see how, get him some training wheels, see how it goes, and see if you can trust him as you go along here, give him a little more leash as you go. But yeah, I'm not excited about Jordan Poyer being back on the field. And even if it goes all right in this game, because again, usually on a Friday, I'm driving in here around 2 o'clock and I'm listening to the great Greg Cosell on with Steve and Chris Brown on One Bills Live. And
what, they're not great?
His describing the Carolina pass catchers, like it's not a speed thing that you should be worried about. They're big and physical. Like Leggett is big, McMillan is big. The other guy, I forget who was the name that was mentioned.
Who do you want? Jalen Coker?
Yeah, big guy, 6'3". Like, there's size there. So maybe Poyer doesn't get exploited. But him playing safety against the Chiefs next week, like, I won't be able to breathe watching that. Like, that is terrifying to me. So, I think maybe ideally what they do is get into a game here where they can afford to play Hancock and sort of try that out. But you're going to need a lead to do that. Like, you need the jet game. I need to get out in front, and then I can see and I can tinker and hopefully be ready to go next week with someone younger and more athletic. Because if I got to lean on Poyer against the Chiefs, man, I think that's a bad scene.
Uh-oh.
I don't mean to be skipping ahead games here, but
the lead. Are we taking the ball tomorrow, Sunday, rather? Are we going that far?
I don't need to do that.
Hasn't the defense been getting kind of chewed up early in games? Like, you don't want to get behind? I don't want to do that either. But one, all kinds of different thoughts have been bounced around here in almost 2 weeks. One that I guess I want to say I've come around to is throwing the ball to Cook. Like, if the offense isn't going to be capable of just, big body blows down the field, then how am I going to get there? Is it just by having three tight ends on the field? Am I Pittsburgh? Like, what? How am I going to get there? And Cook has been on such a roll until these two games. Like, these two games really didn't get a lot out of him. The touchdown streak he was on ended against New England, and that would seem like sort of an obvious correlation, right? I mean, that's how it goes with running backs. Usually, if you're winning or if your running back is hitting, then you're going to be more likely to win. That's just how football works. But throwing the ball to him, which they kind of have stopped doing.
Mm-hmm.
They never did a ton of it, but it isn't really a part of their offense. And I might think that changes this week. At FanDuel, however, his over under line on receiving yards is 13.5. So if you think maybe that will happen, I think you want to get on that app and play that.
Yeah.
13.5 is one good play.
Yeah.
If they do that. But that's how you get beat at this. I mean, often with these really small numbers,
right.
Oh, that's obvious. That'll happen. And then, you know, it doesn't. But that's one thought for this game that I've had is, all right, well, you had the bye. I don't know exactly what the matchup is going to look like. It's like when they played Atlanta. There's just, I only know so much about this team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have to be bad, the Panthers. Their record is good. I mean, their record is 4-3, and I'm not sure how good they really are. This was the same with the Falcons. And in the first half, at least against the Bills, the Falcons looked amazing. They held on to win. So I have said all week, I think Dalton playing is probably good for Carolina. Just somebody that knows what he's looking at against, you know, a Bills team. They don't play very much. I could see anybody like Penix even too, but he did fine. Bryce Young being like just sort of, this is new. And yeah. Maybe McDermott, they give you sort of different looks from what's on film. I don't know if I'm going to be able to trick Andy Dalton, but it's not like I have to lose to him. I'm worried about the game.
I should be able to beat him without tricking him.
Well,
pressure. I get it. We're living in a world here where quarterbacks are coming back from the dead all the time here. We just saw Flacco last Thursday night. I mean, it happens. So could Dalton have one more moment in the sun like Flacco did last Thursday? Yeah, maybe. There is also something to be said for he's never been that good and he's old. So I don't know. Like try to beat me outside the hash marks and maybe I got a pick six coming to me. You know, I might even like putting into a parlay a defensive touchdown in this game.
Ooh.
Just, you know, those odds are always enticing. I guess they don't happen that often. But I can't. I want to respect the point, but I also feel like it's another one of these things that I, myself, speaking only for myself, have just been looking at and thinking about for too long.
Which quarterback will have the higher passing yard prop?
I've not looked. It's Allen.
Allen is correct. 223.5 to 208.5 for Dalton.
That's not that big a disparity.
No, it's not, but they're also not that big of numbers.
Right. That's part of the point.
Sam coming up at 3:30, and I watched him again this morning, and he's been so pro Bills. Super Bowl bets, you know, the whole thing. This morning he was talking on Bet Sweats about like Buffalo in this game. Come on. They've got to be the much better team. And I was listening to him like I just don't know. I want to say again, maybe it's just being in here where mm-hmm. not only are we talking about their flaws all the time, but that's really it.
I think at the beginning of the year, I would have thought they'll be the much better team when they get on the field on October 26 against Carolina. Watching the games, it's harder to get there. Just because you've seen the Bills' flaws and you've seen Carolina win three games in a row and they've got a running back who's put up like 400 yards total offense the last couple of weeks and the Bills can't seem to catch a cold on stopping the run. So there are things to be concerned about in the matchup. But, you know, if you go back to, you know, the beginning of the year, I'm sort of with Sam. I should be the better team, maybe even I would say the much better team. I've got the much better quarterback. I've got this offensive line. I've got James Cook. I should find a way to make that happen. Like, try tackling somebody. All right, guys? Like, let's just try to get that done and not give up 180-plus yards rushing this week.
I'm just making a note of what you just said so I can refer to it later.
Okay. The 180-yard part? What? Anyway.
No, I was actually writing down that it's for the third day in a row, it's my anniversary.
Third day in a row?
Yes.
We
went out.
Anniversary week.
It turns out we went out on Wednesday night to celebrate. Yesterday was the actual day. Today is what the wedding certificate says.
Okay.
Is that what it's called? The marriage certificate?
Marriage certificate, sure.
Our marriage certificate is wrong. Hmm. It mentions today as the day, so it really is anniversary
week.
Well,
this whole union is null and void then.
You guys, I don't know. Sometimes I kind of...
Real trouble.
Sometimes I wonder. I mean, yes, anniversary week. That's what I was... I confess, that's what I was writing down. We have guests today. We have Sam Paniatovich coming up, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, coming up next. We will talk to Theo Greminger today. Fantasy points. Get your questions answered for week 8. Sal will join us at 5. Drive at 5, if you will. What will these injury absences mean? Tyrell Shavers maybe plays a full-time role in this game with Palmer out. That's who got the work when Palmer went out in Atlanta. And then the Sabres tonight, game moved up to 7, so 6 o'clock pregame. Paul Hamilton will start things off on the pregame show coming up at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday on WGR with Sam Paniatovich next. We will be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul, and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores, or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
And when I say open it up and be a little more expansive, I don't mean have them drop back and throw 60 yards down the field. You know, when you watch certain teams, the Lions, when you see those kinds of teams that work the intermediate levels effectively with their concepts, you know, it's multiple receiver concepts, it's combination routes. I feel like I don't see as much of that from the Bills. And again, I'm giving you my interpretation of it. That's the way I think about the pass game.
Greg Cosell on the Bills pass game. Bills and Panthers. We'll remember some Panthers today, too.
Remember some
Panthers. Want to flirt with that a little bit?
Remember some Panthers.
I went to that stadium last summer. Was there visiting my mom, and we went to a Charlotte FC game, who plays at that stadium. By the way, massive Panther statues outside that stadium.
That's right.
massive panther statues, and they're like kind of up in the air, so they're looking down on you, like they're up in a tree about to pounce. Like
kind of like
in.
The Detroit Tigers have that at their stadium. Tigers yep. everywhere.
The names that were like retired in the stadium were funny to me.
Kevin Green.
Yeah, I gotta pull it up.
Kevin Green. I'm on Tim Biakabatuka. How's that one for you?
I do not. That is not a name I have ever heard in my life. You don't
know Tishamanga
Biakabatuka?
Tim Biakabatuka.
Maybe I have heard it because I think I just nailed it.
Former Michigan running back, Biakabatuka, yeah.
All right, here we go. I got the pictures from the stadium. The guys whose names are like in the Ring of Honor.
For the Panthers?
Who, by the way, the thing I was making fun of is the names in their Ring of Honor look like... They look like the stickers on a fantasy draft board.
Okay.
Up at the top. Sam Mills.
Yep, linebacker Sam Mills.
Jake DeLome.
Yeah.
Jordan Gross.
Okay, offensive lineman.
Steve Smith. That's an easy one. And then, this is why I remember it being ridiculous. They have in the Ring of Honor PSL owners.
Oh, that's right. Nice.
PSL owners in the stadium. And that was it. Like, Musleh Muhammad is the other one.
Musleh Muhammad, yep.
Like,
he was good.
It's not.
Good to great.
Good to great. There wasn't, like, the most iconic football players ever, though. Like, if I want to go to Lambeau next year when the Bills go to Green Bay, and, like, I expect to go to Lambeau and be like, oh, they're the, you know.
Your names of guys I never saw play.
Right. But these are,
but
like, historic greats. Like, these are guys that wore leather helmets that built this sport, right?
Yeah.
Bart Starr is up there on the. He didn't wear leather helmets, but.
Remember
like,
some.
Like, you go to the Panthers, and it's like. A list of guys that went 7-9 100 times.
I'm trying to think. Dom Capers was a coach for them at some point, wasn't he? And Dom Capers, their
maybe.
first coach?
My earliest memory of them, John Fox is the coach.
All right.
I really only kind of... How many coaches have they had? It was John Fox right to Ron Rivera. Did they have two coaches for like 20 years? Or was there a guy in between there?
Great question. I'll find out.
I don't remember another one. Like, there have been guys more recently.
George Seifert. Frank Reich, Matt Rhule, Ron Rivera, Steve Wilkes,
Perry Fuel. Fox and Rivera were their only coaches from 2002 to 2019.
Oh,
so
yeah,
for 17 years, they only had two coaches.
803-0550. Give us a call on this Bills offense, defense, which side of the ball you're looking for a little bit more from. The Vikings and Chargers last night, by the way. The Chargers getting that win. They're 5-3. Their next four games... Titans, Steelers, Jaguars, Raiders. That AFC West race is a real race. I don't think the Chiefs are in any danger of missing the playoffs.
No.
But they are going to still have to track down the Chargers because they are behind them in standings with the tiebreaker loss. So we'll see. The Chiefs have the Commanders this week, and the Commanders have been a mess.
And they don't have Jayden Daniels.
That's right.
Ruled out. They also might not have McLaurin. Oh, McLaurin might play this week, but whatever. Mariota. I think that's a 12-point spread.
Yeah.
This week, because they're going up against a backup quarterback.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. And remember some Panthers along the way if you want. Greg Olsen.
That's a good one. Deshaun Foster.
That's all right.
I think he's a head coach now.
I like that.
Isn't he?
What Bills players?
Is he head coach?
I mean, a lot of former Panthers remember some Panthers as remember some Bills, right?
Oh, sure.
Now come here like Star Latulale.
Deshaun Foster, by the way, is the head coach at UCLA. Star Latulale and A.J. Klein and Kelvin Benjamin.
Yep.
And what? And even more like really good. Kalen Clay was a receiver they had at one point.
That's a deep pull.
Yeah.
Josh in Boston. Hey, Josh, good morning.
Josh, are there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's morning. Up?
How you doing, man? I listen to you guys every morning at work. My bad.
No, it's good. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for listening.
I think the offense definitely has to get back on track. I think the play calling could be a lot better. I mean, I like Joe Brady. He's done good since he's got the job, but I just think, you know, it always looks so hard. And then you watch a game like last night where the Chargers are just swinging it everywhere. And I know we don't have receivers like they do, but just when you have a good quarterback like that, it's tough. You know,
thanks, Josh. Joe and I were just looking at chart alert. A new chart just came out. Judah Fortgang, who does some fancy stats and good stuff. I actually subscribe to Judah. I think he does incredible work. Anyway, what he had was create rate for quarterbacks. Like, what do they do when pressured versus what do they do when they have a clean pocket and they can operate in the scope of their offense. And it was, you know, as you might expect, Josh Allen, one of the best in the league at the create rate. The other one he titled is like destroy rate. What do you do when you have your offense? It looks does what it wants and you don't have pressure. And Allen ranked there. It's very middle of the pack, next to Kyler Murray, next to Bo Nix, behind Tua, behind guys that you don't like in the structure of the offense, drop back, pass it, their success rate or their whatever, what they're doing when Allen isn't rolling out and kind of trying to create more is not terrible, but just kind of you would hope for better. You would expect better. So that's a spot where you would say weapons or get everybody healthy, get Kincaid back in, get better game planning, but just, you know, better ideas from Joe Brady. It's why Joe Brady's job is tough, is because anytime I see Josh Allen's name below other quarterbacks, I freak out. Maybe it's not exactly right all the time. But anyway, we'll see what they do against Carolina. What do you think happens in this game? Is it going to be Elijah Moore gets some use down the field on the outside, especially if Kincaid is not going to go? If they don't have Kincaid nor Samuel, and the offense is Dawson Knox, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Tyrell Shavers, Elijah Moore.
So basically the same personnel you had against Atlanta.
Yeah. Here's your difference. It's going to be James Cook is going to get 25 carries, and you're going to make sure that you're committing to the run game.
You know, that's more what I think. You know what I want to look up? What is James Cook's career high in carries in a single game? What do you think that record is for him? Has he ever had 25 carries in a game? He had, 25 is the exact number. He had 25 against Dallas a couple years ago.
217 yards, whatever.
179 yards.
179, yeah.
I want to predict that he's in the 20s this week, and maybe there's a chance he beats that. I think that's what they do. I think what they do is they realize, no, we don't have the receivers that can do this. If we don't have Dalton Kincaid or Josh Palmer, we're not going to be able to beat these guys. We're not just going to throw the ball to a covered Keon Coleman. What we're going to do is we're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball like crazy. Cook's going to get 20 carries, and Ray Davis is going to get 5, and Ty Johnson's going to get 5, and we're going to have 30-plus rush attempts. And that's how we're going to control the game. Like that's how I feel like it would be more likely that they attack it. And you can debate how much you want, how likely that would give them a chance to win. I guess I would still predict they would win a game like that, but it would probably keep the game close. I think this game's going to be close. Kind of think both teams are going to try to run the ball a lot. So I don't think you're going to get a super high-paced game. I don't think you're going to get a ton of scoring. I mentioned earlier with Sal, what would Bills fans take, a 41-35 win or a 20-14 win? I think the 20-14 win is way more likely.
Oh, I do.
Way
too.
More likely.
Yeah, because just they're going to be a lot of runs. Remember some Panthers in the chat, the He Hate Me guy. He Hate Me for the XFL. He was a Panthers player.
He was?
I believe so. Danny in Pittsburgh. I'll check that out. Danny in Pittsburgh. Good morning, Danny.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Rod Smart was his name.
Rod Smart.
And he also did indeed play for the Panthers.
Leonard Johnson, deep Panthers, Bills.
All right. Good one. Right. Deep pull.
Question on the Bills playing nickel. So, seems like they're playing less nickel this year. I don't know if that proves out from a snap count
standpoint. Nope, they are. They are.
It seems like they're playing three linebackers more often. Opposed to previous years where they would make teams work to pry them out of nickel. And that just was really hard because they had Johnson who played their run so well. So has that percentage changed? And then what do you think that's related to? Is it Johnson falling off? Is it, teams changing how they handle it? I don't know what's going on.
No, it is definitely proven out in the numbers. They are running more. They are running more base defense than they ever have. They were leading the league in nickel percentage usage of it every year. And they might still be using it more than other teams, but it used to be 4-5% of the time that they would have three linebackers on the field. And the last time I saw it, they were up around 25-30%. It's gone way, way up. Now, part of that though is, I'm looking right now, they see 12 personnel a pretty good amount they're 10th. They see 12 personnel, the 10th highest mark in the league, 27% of the plays. So that's kind of it. I think is, all right, 26, 27% of the time, you're seeing a two tight end set, 12 personnel at least. And whenever they see that, I think they're putting a third linebacker on the field. So it's kind of the flow of the league, I think, as to why they're doing it more than anything.
Another deep Bills-Panthers crossover. Mike Tolbert.
That guy used to drive me crazy how often they used to give him
Rick
the football.
Rick Dennison loved handing that ball to Mike Tolbert.
I couldn't stand it.
Paul in Akron. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to say we need improvement on both sides of the ball. When we don't use, you know, guys that we should, or plays aren't in called on the offense, or the defense lets us down. It's both sides of the ball, you know, that we need improvement on. You guys were talking about scores earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, Joe had mentioned, you know, a couple different scores, and Sal was, like, worried about the 37-41 or something like that. What we need to do is do what we did to the Raiders, what Jim Kelly did, 51-3. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to have a goal. You know, it seems like we have cheat codes, you know, like on a game. We've got, you know, a great running back that we don't use because we want to be diversified and throw it to other places. Okay, let's just say the run's going to get 12 yards. Oh, nah, we're going to try to run up the middle, you know, instead of going with a 12-yard run around the side. No, use the cheat code. Make them stop it. That's just my opinion. We need both sides of the ball improvement. You guys have a good morning.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, that's one of the points that I'd like to make consistently, like throughout what the Bills have needed to improve this offseason was about mainly overhauling the defense. And we are about to start to see that. If I were to say for you, what are the four biggest pieces they added to their team? You would say first-round pick Maxwell Hairston, maybe second-round pick T.J. Sanders, okay? Mm-hmm. And then Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, and Joey Bosa. Like, that's the five. If I'd say your five biggest investments, those are your five. We've seen Bosa. It's been okay. Pretty good, I think, as advertised. And the other four, well, three of them are about to rejoin the team. So for defensive fields, you know, 11 positions, I've got a bunch of changes that are coming. And I do think, I don't know if the Bills are going to make a move at receiver. I don't anticipate it. More people out there do. I don't because I'm not going to be Charlie Brown with a football thinking they're finally going to do a thing and they're not going to do it. I don't anticipate it. But I do want to say, if the defense rounds into a top 10 unit, then any sort of criticism that has been thrown at the GM, and he's getting a lot for their receivers, would be quieted down because he makes the case, I did that because this defense needs to get fixed. And if it gets fixed, then it's, well, job well done. You accomplished a goal. So far, 6-7 weeks in, it's the receivers remain a conversation, which they probably will no matter what, and mm-hmm. the defense hasn't shown anybody that it's going to be good enough to stop anybody any good. So I think they're kind of, whatever. He's probably getting a lot of criticism just because, hey, I did it for this. Yeah, well, that's not working right now either. At least right now,
right.
We probably start a better look at whether or not it's going to work.
Yeah, I got news for anybody, though, that thinks that might, or whoever, how they might act. Like, they're not turning into a top 10 defense. I don't, there's no way. Even with the additions that they're coming back. What would these players have to be for that to happen?
Hairston,
to go from where they are right now, which is like 25th, 26th in DVOA, to being a top 10 defense, Max Hairston would have to be the defensive rookie of the year.
He would have to be a really solid corner. And
it'd be a great
make splash plays. Really, what it comes down to is turnovers. They probably have to be the kind of defense that does that again.
The whole middle of their defense behind their defensive line is terrible.
It's
bad.
It's gettable. It's very gettable, yeah.
Like I don't, and Poyer is not saving the day on that. He might help a little bit, but, and you know, Milano coming back, and if he can play three games in a row, might help you a little bit. I just don't see it. With Bernard, Milano, Bishop, Poyer, or Rapp being the middle four of your defense, I don't think they have it in them.
Yeah, Poyer going in is this is how bad it's gotten. And that,
right.
That again, to me, is still like the biggest surprise for them.
And listen, like, more injuries are going to pop up. They're getting healthier on defense, I guess, but like, someone will go out. Injuries will happen. And I don't know how – I don't think they're very prepared on defense to deal with another important injury if it does come.
Yeah. There's just no way they could have – maybe not no way they could have anticipated. There's no way that they expected that Taylor Rapp was going to become this year. And I'm – you know, knee injury, okay. Yeah. I got to take them for their word. But there's just no way they expected this to be what Taylor Rapp's season was going to be. Which has been a big problem.
I would even say, as someone that was not that high on him in the first place, that he was not as good as they thought he was, he's been even worse.
Yeah.
Like, last year he graded out as worse safety than DeMar Hamlin, for instance. Like, he was a below-average safety. He's
gone to unplayable.
Yeah, it's beyond that even.
Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning, guys. My Panther of the day is Julius Peppers. He seemed like he was playing there forever.
Yep. His name's in that stadium.
Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Okay, I don't know if anyone mentioned him earlier.
Yep, he's good.
I think the problem, you know, a lot of people don't agree with me, but I think Joe Brady's a problem. I think he handcuffs the offense, handcuffs Allen for sure. It just seems like, why are you using your weapon? And after last game, did it not seem like that McDermott was talking about, like, you know, how we got to do, it's almost like he's complaining about the play calls. You're the head coach. I mean, I don't know how much on game day he can override, say, no, don't do that or whatever, but it just seems like, it's almost a disconnect or something, maybe. I could be totally wrong, but after that last game, McDermott talked about how he got too cute, to not being this. And you're right, James Cook will rip off 9 yards, 9 yards, 9 yards, and we won't see him for 17 plays. But that's my thing. The offense is more of the issue than the defense, because the defense did their job the last two games for this team, especially the second half against Atlanta. You know, and we were like an inch away from a pick six to win that game. And it's like, man. Every other year we would have got that pick, but
yeah.
That's just my point of view. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Brady definitely also under the microscope. What can he cook up this week? Cook? Maybe it's Cook. It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday. This segment has been Who Needs to Get Results? Brought to you by Dan Cha-Cha, Injury Attorneys. Don't worry, Cha-Cha's got you. Who needs to get results? Allen? Brady? Coleman? No, Shakir?
I mean, Coleman.
Coleman doesn't have to. I don't know if he has to. They might.
Has to do it to win the game or has to stay on the field?
Well, here's the thing about Coleman this week. If Samuel and Kincaid are both unavailable, don't they have to? Who do they look to? They can't run a game plan through Tyrell Shavers. Is it throwing the ball to Ty Johnson again and Ray Davis? Something that worked really well last year.
I'd be into that more.
Like, maybe
honestly,
we're going to get into throws to the running backs once again. Maybe Dawson Knox is a big part of this game.
I would sooner want to throw the ball to Ty Johnson out of the backfield or throw the ball to Elijah Moore than I would to
Coleman.
Start chucking the ball over to a covered Keenan Coleman.
At the risk of, you know, just kind of guessing this, but if Coleman's not a big part of what they do offensively this week, then I don't know. I don't want to say it's all cooked, but man, like, this is an opportunity for a young receiver to step into a role and, like, hey, time to show out. You wanted that against Atlanta, but it would have been, well, we didn't know what was going to happen. This is 2 weeks going into a game against Carolina. Can you get him into space? Can you get him spots where he can flourish? Because, of course, like, that's the job of the coach and the coaches. So we'll see. Dan Cha-Cha, Who Needs to Get Results? Brought to you by Dan Cha-Cha, Injury Attorneys. Don't worry, Cha-Cha's gotcha. 803-0550, Chris Brown. When we return, we'll chat about the Bills and Panthers as the Bills make a trip to Carolina for their first time in quite some time. Josh Allen's first ever trip into this stadium. Football Friday, Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Give us a ring at 803-0550.
Been able to run the ball pretty well. You know, play action pass game, I think it's been pretty good. Inside the numbers has been pretty good. Obviously, there's a lot of directions that you can go to try to clean things up. And, you know, it comes down to, again, just going out there and executing each and every given play call that Joe gives, but making sure that throughout the week we're straining in practice and finishing on plays. And sometimes it's the small things. You learn a lot from these losses that maybe you don't learn and win.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen right there, whose grandma told him she wants to see him smile more. So he's going to try and do that a little bit and get back to, you know, having some fun. And, you know, it's chicken and egg, right? You win, you score, you have fun. And hopefully the Bills will have a lot of fun on Sunday for Bills fans by scoring a lot of points and stopping the Carolina Panthers. They need to get back on the winning track. Sitting at 4-2 right now. The Chargers won last night to get to 4-3. And that was a game where I thought, you know, do you want the Chargers to win if you're a Bills fan? because that's another team in the mix if you actually have to fight your way into the playoffs this year? Or do you want the Chargers to win? Yes, because that keeps the Chiefs down a little bit longer and farther, right? Could have looked at it either way, but either way, the Chargers took care of the Vikings, and now that sets up week 8 in the NFL, and we'll get to all of that a little bit later. In the meantime, welcoming your calls at 803-0550 here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, call the 8s, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. Bills head coach Sean McDermott will join me here shortly when he's done with another production meeting for television. He'll call up. We'll talk about the injuries, going back to Carolina, stopping the Panthers, and everything else that goes into the game on Sunday. David has been waiting patiently in Florida. David, thank you for waiting. I appreciate that. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
Show while you keep us all balanced through all these things.
I try.
I was in Atlanta. In fact, I went down to the sideline to try to catch it because I wanted to let you know that my wife and I are coming on the Legends Cruise. Look forward to meeting you.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. That Legends Cruise is great, and I'm glad you opened the door for me to give the plug, but I mean, people got to get registered soon because spots are going fast, and you know, you can't wait until January, February because we got to do all the paperwork and all that kind of stuff, and spots are going fast. So yeah, buffalofootballlegends.com is the Legends Cruise. I'm glad you brought that up and hope to see you, and I'm sure I will, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, so about the game, I was in Atlanta, obviously, and, you know, I was just frustrated getting to watch. And, you know, as far as the defense goes, look, I expected the defense to be squishy the first part of the season, especially, you know, hopefully to get healthy. And they'll be better. They'll be better. But to watch that offense for 2 weeks and, you know, have people talk about, wow, we need a wide receiver, we need this, we need that. You know what? We just need to scheme three guys open. You know, Kincaid, you know, Cook, and Shakir. And you watch other teams do it when they're down with players and this and that. Like, what happened with Cincinnati? What'd they do? They went to their best playmaker. They found a way to get the guy open. They just kept feeding the guy the ball, and it opens everything else up. And I'm so frustrated watching it because, yeah, it'd be great to have a burner wide receiver. We don't have the money to get the right guy. Don't buy another freaking, you know, retread. We got the talent. Just get him open. You know, when they had Cook off the field, I wanted to tear somebody's head off. It was so frustrating to watch. I mean, get the guy, you know, okay, he's not a great blocker, whatever. Put him in, you know, get him open, but make him a wide receiver. A guy catches the ball. Shakir catches the ball. And Kay catches the ball. Of course, you know, he was out for the game, but, you know, but you get my point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those guys are great yak players too, you know, and, you know, it opens everybody else up. As far as Coleman goes, I watched him at Florida State. I'm a big Florida State fan. They got to do something different. He doesn't have the speed to be the wideout guy. He really doesn't. And get him in closer where he can, you know, use his body to make some plays and get things rolling, get some rhythm. But anyway, I was a little frustrated. I didn't call earlier in the week because of it. But anyway, but if you could let me hang on so I could hear your response, I'd appreciate it. Because I don't
know. I hear you. I think it's you know, it's one thing to say scheme them up, and I don't disagree. But it's, you know, you're also going against defensive coordinators and NFL players who are going to try to prevent that, right? So it's not as easy as just scheming up. You still have to win. You still have to be able to do that. You can draw up all the plays in the world. Every single football coach and person who's played Madden, David, has drawn up all the plays in the world that everybody's open. Well, but you still have to be able to do that. And then you also have to protect your quarterback. And I think that was an issue, obviously, against Atlanta.
Yeah, and that was frustrating, too, because, you know, clearly they were coming after him and stuff like that. But, and we're running the ball down their throat. And it's like we went away from it. And it's like, you know, you got, you know, what happened to the quick, you know, two-step, boom, hit the play, two-step, hit the play. And it was just frustrating to watch. And boy, I'll tell you something, you can't say enough about Bills Mafia. Man, well, we represented there, and it's a damn shame, you know, we didn't play well because, man, I couldn't believe the amount of people that were there. It was amazing.
And wait till this weekend. You going to the game in Charlotte? You're down there south.
No. Actually, we rerouted this into our trip south. I'm a snowbird, you know, and so I live in Hamlin, New York. I call you from there sometimes too. But we routed it down through to Atlanta. I got family in Atlanta, and you know, so we caught that game, and then we're probably going to go to the Miami game down here this year.
All right.
That might be it for the season. So.
Well, listen, man, thank you very much, David, and thanks for signing up for that cruise. It's going to be a great, great time. We're going to celebrate Thurman's 60th birthday on the cruise together. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and looking forward to really meeting you and stuff like that. So I love you, man.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thank you. That's really cool. Really nice of him. Anyway, yeah, go to buffalofootballlegends.com. I've been promoting it here, and we're going on a cruise, and I'll be kind of doing all the Bills-themed stuff with the Buffalo Football Legends Thurman Thomas, Steve Tasker, Don Beebe, Scott Norwood, Butch Roll is coming. Del Reed at 26 shirts is coming. We got Pinto Ron now signed up on the, we secured him as one of the, you know what I call him? He's a legend. He's a Buffalo football legend. Anyway, it's going to be really fun, and I'll be doing a lot of the, like I said, kind of the cruise director type stuff for a meet and greet night and a dinner. We're going to have dance parties. It's going to be really cool. And we're celebrating Thurman's 60th. It's in May next year, going down to the Caribbean. May 10th through 17th, leaving out of Miami, going down to the British Virgin Islands. It's going to be a great time. Check it out, BuffaloFootballLegends.com. But you really do have to get on it soon, folks. Spots are going fast. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call if you want to get in here fast as well. Talking Buffalo Bills, Carolina Panthers on Sunday. Sean McDermott will be calling us shortly when he's available. We'll ask him about injuries and who to expect to play or maybe not play in the game on Sunday. At this point, Daquan Jones, Joshua Palmer, and Taylor Rapp, none have practiced this week. So I would think that that would mean, you know, trending towards not playing, but we'll see. Maybe he doesn't rule any out. Maybe he says one or two or all could even practice today. Would seem unlikely, at least with the first two, because we know that Jones and Palmer were termed week to week earlier this week by the head coach. Day to day is where is what he said for pretty much everybody else. So we'll see where that goes. 803-0550. Henry is in Depew. Hi, Henry.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I was commenting on the fact that Allen really seems off his game. He looks like nothing like he did two or three years ago. Last two or three years, I should say. I don't know if it's because they don't want him to run. He doesn't want to run. He's not, I don't know what it is. The offensive line isn't as good, which is amazing. After the last 2 years, they were the best in the league, but with the same players.
What do you see when you say that? When you say off his game, like what part of his game do you think seems off to you? Or is it just you know, them, like you say, not running or whatever, but what part of his game seems off to you?
Well, it appears to me like his completion percentage is way down. His interception rate's way up. He's throwing into coverage that he hasn't been doing for the last two or three years. And, you know, and he seems...
Well, he didn't throw an interception until the... He didn't throw an interception until the New England game. And I'm sorry, the Saints game when he threw one way down the field. He was actually... had gone a long, long time without throwing an interception going back to last year. I have to look at the actual numbers on that. I'm not sure if that's the case, the completion percentage. You know, some of it, though, Henry, is how much... I think here's the debate, right, Henry, which is how much is it the things you're talking about versus how much is it guys not getting open that he can rely on to throw the ball to and be open in spots, right? I think that's the chicken and egg debate we're having here.
Well, to be honest with you, I really think they should have kept... I can't think of his name. The guy, Hollins... They should have kept him. They should have made a concerted effort to keep him.
2 years, up to $10 million. You good with that? That's what he got from New England.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be willing to pay him $5, $6 million.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Well, that would have been... Yeah, he got four a year plus an extra two possible.
I'm more concerned about the fact that they spent 11 or 12 or whatever on Cook, and he's real good. But they probably could have pulled up another running back, not the same quality, but they probably could have invested a lot of that money into a receiver.
Yeah, I can't get with you on that one. I think James Cook, as much as I was even of the mindset of, I don't know if you want to pay him that money, I think that they made the right call by paying James Cook what they did. I mean, he's been fantastic. Up until the last couple of weeks, he's been an offensive player of the year conversation. That's how good James Cook has been. But I hear you. I mean, I think with Mac Hollins, it was... They wanted him back, and they made an effort to bring him back, but he got an extra year and more money from the Patriots. So, you know, from reports, the way it sounded, the Bills had a year, you know, on the table for him. He took 2 years, and he got $8.4 million in base plus an ability to gain an extra and earn an extra $2 million, which is 10.4 over 2 years. It's quite a bit for a guy that's going to be, yeah, I know he led the Bills in receiving touchdowns last year, but he's not a main target. He's in the blocking game a lot, and he was somebody who did help a lot in those areas. Blocking, special teams, no doubt. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call if you want to jump on board. I'm looking at now, let me see where Josh is as far as completion percentage compared to last year. Just want to make sure I get this right. So qualifying leaders, Josh Allen, completion percentage right now, 68.5% right now. That is eighth in the NFL. Last year, Josh Allen, completion percentage was 63.6. So that is not accurate. He has a 5% higher completion percentage right now than he did for last year as a whole. Go back to 2023. His completion percentage was 66.5. He is higher now than he has been at either point at the end of either of the last 2 years. So for the caller who just called and said it seems like his completion percentage is down, not accurate. It is up. He has thrown a couple interceptions lately. I think a lot of those, the one against New Orleans was a deep ball kind of being forced deep when he thought, and by the way, a great play by the DB on that play. And then, I don't even say forced deep. He threw the ball deep and Keon Coleman was there. Great play by the DB, but Atlanta forced one over the middle and then one gets batted up in the air and intercepted as well at the end of the game. Okay, we'll take a timeout here. When we come back, Bills head coach Sean McDermott should be available to join us here on the Nortown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get an injury update for Sunday against the Carolina Panthers.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.